This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon and welcome to Fender Bender, your one-stop motoring shop here on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson. Massive thanks to the wonderful Alan Ross for Cafe Latte, which will be back next week at the same time. So big thanks to Alan, that's wonderful. Here to rev up your Sunday evenings, we have in the studio the wonderful Mike Costello.
Hello, mate.
And Jeremy.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, boys.
Thank you.
Hope you're both well. Bit sick.
Yeah, it's either hungover or sick every time I sing, every time I come in here, Tim.
Oh dear, you poor love. And Mike, are you neither of those things?
Oh, I'm a little seedy today. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Sundays are all about.
Well, this is the rumour. That's what I hear. Well, look, we've got a huge show today. Coming up, we talk about the influx of Chinese car makers in Australia and what it means for the industry, consumers, and, of course, motoring enthusiasts. We interview comedian Scott Brennan about his rather checkered motoring history. We chat about the recent design awards and tell you who really should have won. And, of course, all the motoring news you can poke your gear stick at. That's all coming up on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. That was CSS there. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We are here to talk cars. And Mike, Jeremy and myself would really like to hear from you. If you want to know anything throughout the show, please contact us via our Facebook page. We have a new jazzy little page that you can like. If you go to Facebook and you search for Fender Bender Joy, all as one word, and you can communicate with us throughout the show, or even when the show's off, because Facebook exists all the time, not just for our show, which is surprising to a lot of people. But no, we really want to hear from you, and about a few things in particular, one of which is, of course, if you're listening for the first time, we have a desperate search on, basically, to find the gayest car of all time. And we've had some good people, you know, suggesting ones already. Do you guys remember? We had the Beetle, Volkswagen Beetle.
We did. Uh-huh. That's always a favourite. We are the Peugeot 206cc.
Yep.
As well.
That's SLK.
Right. SLK, of course. Yeah. Audi TT. There were a couple on the Facebook page today. Nick from Darwin has suggested the Nissan Micra.
Ah, good choice. Good choice.
Yep. Yep. I reckon that's suburban.
Really?
Mum car. Yeah, I don't know if that's really that gay.
The last we're being shouted down. There we go. But there's quite a few more, and we do want to hear from you guys as to the gayest car. Why is it gay? Why do you think it's gay? Let us know if you can text in on 0427-JOY-949. Give us a call, 1300-JOY-949, or email on air at joy.org.au. Yes, there's a lot of gay cars out there, and we want to know what they are. Now, there's a lot been going on this week, Mike. Is that right?
As always, Tim. As always.
Beautiful. Well, let us know what's happening in motoring news.
BMW has released the first tantalising images of its futuristic i3 electric city car and its i8 plug-in hybrid supercar during the week. They will be the initial members of its all-new i sub-brand that will commence European production in 2013. The unveiling in Frankfurt showed a pair of cars that looked like making a radical departure from conventional vehicles, with carbon fibre reinforced plastic bodies and lightweight aluminium frames. This design means both models, despite clunky electric motors, tip the scales as relative lightweights, allowing for decent driving ranges and swift acceleration. The stunning range-topping i8 supercar plug-in hybrid is reported to dash from 0 to 100 in under 5 seconds, while sipping around 3 litres of fuel per 100 k's. The German heavyweight has truly entered the building. Another new car reveal this week came in the form of the next-gen Honda CR-V compact SUV, with a single image of the car's polarising new design surfacing ahead of its forthcoming public debut in California. Details are scarce at this stage, but what we can say is that the car will have chunkier, edgier styling and will probably have an entry-level front-drive variant. Expect a raft of new vehicles from the car-making world's big guns over the next few weeks, with the days ticking down to the opening of the enormous Frankfurt Motor Show in September.
Sports car manufacturer Lotus has confirmed it will produce a small city car that it will sell alongside its sportier siblings. The tiny city car concept will go into production in 2012 and carry the name Ethos. Lotus is owned by budget Malaysian manufacturer Proton, who will also sell a version of their car of the car. Although there is a risk it may tarnish the brand's image, Lotus is not the first British sports car maker to add a cheap city car to its lineup. Aston Martin launched the Toyota IQ-based Signet small car to help beat Europe's tough emissions laws. Concerns about it just being a Proton with a Lotus badge were dismissed by the manufacturer, saying the car will very much be a Lotus.
And now to Monte Carlo, the city where nobody is caught dead doing things by halves, especially car park fender benders. A woman brought proceedings outside the decadent Place du Casino to a halt this week when she drove her Bentley Azure convertible, circa $750,000, into the path of a new Mercedes S-Class limo. The car then proceeded to ram a Ferrari F430 and a Porsche 911, leaving a rather shocked-looking young blonde at the wheel and a repair bill that would cover a nice pad in South Yarra in her wake. The pictures made worldwide waves, and I highly suggest you check them out.
That's right. That's a bit disturbing. Thank you very much, Mike. Some interesting things coming up there, not least of which is that poor dear in Monte Carlo.
Oh, the pics are hilarious, and I do struggle to have too much sympathy. I think, she's driving a Bentley after all.
Yeah. That was awkward. Like, that's just really, the most ridiculous thing you could ever do, surely.
I hope there's a video floating around of it somewhere out there, but the pictures are just... Yeah.
Madness. Mm. Good on her. She couldn't have picked to bump into, I don't know, a Lada or something like that.
Why would there be a Lada in Monte Carlo?
That is a very good point.
You make a valid point. That's very true. But, just pick who you're going to crash into. If you're listening out there, just don't crash into cars like that. It's awkward. It's embarrassing and you'll be financially stuffed for the rest of your life. But quite a bit... happening as well, and there's been quite a lot of comments in the press I've been reading about the new Honda CR-V. It's just one picture causing quite the shitstorm.
I don't know what the fuss is about. It's very polarising and controversial. I think it looks all right. It's not the greatest looking thing in the world, but it seems to have really set the, really polarised people and either a love or hate proposition. To me, it just looks like any other SUV.
I don't know. It's kind of dull.
It's not the most exciting looking thing.
That's Honda. Mm. It's kind of dull. That should be their advertising
their
campaign.
Corporate motto.
Yeah.
Just set the expectation.
It's funny, though, because it does look... one of the comments I read, and I completely agree, was that it's like the recent designer from Subaru has just gone over to Honda and goes, let's just do the same thing.
Yeah, but they all do that. They all seem to jump on a band. Like, there's always a wave of new design, and then it trickles down to all the manufacturers, and you get this similar look across the board, with Subaru, and then you're like, if you look at the i30 in the Hyundai range, and that even branches over to like the BMW 1 Series.
I think
they're all very similar.
Chunky look is in vogue at the moment. There are a lot of cars with the big pillars, the kind of boxy shape, the big wheel arches.
Yeah.
That's just a trend. It'll change, that's just the cycle of things.
Yeah, but I don't think, I've never felt like Honda's been a breakthrough in design.
No, especially with those kind of the ones that are their bread and butter. Like that, the current Civic, that shape of that, I remember when I first saw that, this little bubble of a thing, and then they produce something as middle of the road, I guess, as a CR-V. So it's kind of... And I thought the first Accord Euro was amazing. I thought it was a really hot design, but it's not aging well.
No, it's not really.
I've seen quite a few on the road, and I just go, oh, I loved it when it first came out. Like, I was obsessed with it.
Aging like a Camry, maybe.
Oh, wow. You've said the C word. That is just embarrassing.
I think the biggest news of the week, though, was BMW's new sub-brand, these two iCars. Phenomenal-looking things. One of them was at the recent motor show. But I really... They've called it i. i is the latest. Since Apple started doing it, everybody's Hyundai has i. There was even Vegemite was recalled iSnack briefly, if you remember that.
That was unfortunate.
But it just seems like every company is jumping on this bandwagon of putting i in front of their products.
Always lowercase.
Yeah.
It is a bit strange, but you know what? Let's think about this. BMW have always been the da-da-da i. They kind of really started the eyes.
That is true, but I think his motto may be close to jumping the shark.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you might be right there. So, what's their point here? Are they just trying to get the youth market? Because they don't have it? Or
no, I think they've just decided, obviously, every car maker's jumping on the electric or plug-in hybrid bandwagon, yeah, as we talked about last week. And I think they really want to, I think it's a marketing thing to make a point. They're going to have a sub-brand,
yep,
purely devoted to that. It helps communication. You know, it's very clear from the beginning that every car that wears this particular badge will be an electric car. Or yeah, at least a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, right.
There's no confusion there. I think that's kind of what they're trying to get at.
Okay.
And I think they're trying to shake the whole electric cars as slow, 0 to 100 in 5 seconds. I think that's pretty impressive. But how long does it do that for?
Well,
is it like it does it once actually, and then it runs out of batteries?
No, it's actually a plug-in hybrid, so it has a petrol motor that charges the electric generator. So it can do it for... Yeah,
I'm just faking it till I make it. I really don't know anything about this car.
It does look very pretty, I must say, and it's nice to kind of see an electric car that's quite desirable, I think, and obviously goes like the clappers.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, not everyone wants to drive a Prius because maybe you look like a tryhard.
That's a very masculine phrase you used, Tim. I'm kind of impressed.
Oh, my God. I'm just...
Goes like the clappers.
Yeah, or what's my dad's one, which is one of my favourites?
Shit off a shovel?
Yeah, or wouldn't pull a sailor off your sister. Yeah. I really like
or the
that.
Skin off a custard.
Exactly.
That's another one, yeah.
We are here talking about a lot of things. We've had an SMS come in, Fender Bender sucks balls, and that's from Jeremy here in the studio. Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, we weren't getting any others right now, Tim, so, you know.
That's true. Look, don't feel sorry for Jeremy. Just email in and tell him what you think the gayest car of all time is at some point. Now, we've got a bit more news about design at the moment, Mike.
We do, Tim, we do. Mm-hmm. The Australian International Design Awards were held during the week, with the top gong in the automotive category going to the Audi A7 Sportback. The Kia Optima and the Peugeot 3008 were pipped at the post at the Melbourne-held event, which was opened by Premier Ted Bailey. The only Australian-designed and engineered entrant, the soon-to-be-released Ford Ranger Ute, missed out and had to settle for a consolation Good Design Award.
Rightio. Well, what do we think of this? It's, you know, this is kind of a combined design award. It's not purely for the motoring industry. That's...
No, it's got a lot of different categories.
Yeah.
Basically everything you can throw a stick at.
Yeah, that's when I kind of looked at the article. I'm like, what else do you want to, you know?
Good fridge design. And
literally. It's quite bonkers. Mm. Now, last year's winner was the Hyundai i45, which people might know from the ad with the water coming down and streaming and that kind of thing. Was that a deserving winner, do we think?
Look, I'm not a massive fan of it, to be honest with you. I know a lot of people do like it.
I really like it, but, you know, to be a winner of that, like, you know, that category, I don't know about that.
It might be a bit much.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's a good-looking car, yeah, and the ad's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It is. It is a very good ad. I mean, I think the big thing was, I mean, the Ford Ranger Ute, it was designed in Australia, it was engineered here.
Yeah.
Not to get too patriotic about things, but I think it's a fantastic-looking Ute.
Mm.
Going to be sold globally. It's a big deal to have been designed here, and to sort of miss out even in a top three place, I don't know. I think it was a bit of a harsh call.
Do you think they should have supported the local industry a bit more?
Look, I don't necessarily think it should automatically be a gimme, but I genuinely think it was one of the best designs, and the fact that it's a locally designed thing just kind of gives it that bit of extra gloss, I suppose. I think it was very hard done by.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Jeremy, what do you think of the ones that made the shortlist? The Audi A7. Are you familiar with that sexy design?
Yeah. Well, out of those three that were mentioned, I think that Audi A7 looks great.
Yeah.
But then in that lower end of the... Well, not lower end of the market, but, you know, the lower price range.
Yeah.
The Kia Optima is pretty bang on, I think, for...
It's. I think it gets a lot of it. I mean, Peter Schreyer, I think the guy's name is from Kia, who came over from Audi.
Ex-Audi,
is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He's turned that company around.
Yep.
Done amazing things. Like you were saying before, Jeremy, the badge that it has really hurts it. It's got the Kia badge. It doesn't have a great name because of the past products that company's produced. But
their
new stuff, the Optima and the new Rio, and it's looking amazing. And I think the Optima definitely deserved its place.
Yeah,
and the actual build quality's come a long way because
it really has. Yeah,
yeah, and
yeah,
it's no longer the the bottom of the barrel that it used to be.
Which we'll be talking about later in the show. The new bottom of the barrel, what it's perceived is obviously the new Chinese makes, but we'll chat about that later in the show. But it's interesting with the Kia Optima because it's built on the same platform and has a lot of similar underpinnings to the i45, the one the year before.
Mm. Correct.
So that's quite funny. It's like...
Well, Kia have done it quite well, and Hyundai did catch up, but initially Kia got local engineers to tweak the suspension for Australia, and I think they did this for other international markets. They're kind of better at tweaking their cars for whatever market is being sold in. So while it's based on it, yeah, they did do a little differently.
Yeah. I must say, when I first saw the Audi A7, I'm not going to lie, listeners, I'm a massive Audi fan. I have been for a long time. It was a bit full on, I thought, the Audi A7, especially at the rear, the way that it kind of slopes down at the rear. And I thought, I think that's the first time Audi have stuffed up a design in 20 or 30 years. But I saw one this week on the road, and it is a stunner.
One of those ones that looks better in the flesh or in the metal than it does in the pics. I saw one today on the road as well, actually. And yeah, I've got to agree.
Yeah.
It's got presence.
A little bit. And I'm quite happy that that's done quite well. The Peugeot 3008, is that how you say it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe too many zeros, Peugeot.
They've gone away from one zero to two zeros.
Yeah. I thought that was a... a typo of yours, Tim.
Do you think I would make a typo? Oh,
sorry, I shouldn't have doubted you.
I know. But no, I think it's a bit... It's not an easy name to say as a car. I don't know.
Well, I think what the judges really liked about that car was it's got a big panoramic sunroof on it. That was one of the main things they liked. As a whole design, it's once again a bit of a polarising thing. It's a sort of high slab-sided, boxy-looking thing. It's... interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it's all about, though. Well, sort of breaking ground.
Yeah, well, that's what I think you just said before, is the presence of a car. Like, when you see, you know, like, I find it with a Maserati or a, you know, Aston Martin, it's like, it's a big statement, and they've got a lot of presence.
Yeah. It's fun. Know. Yeah, this little one, I don't know. It's better than Peugeot's other four-wheel drive, which I think is a Mitsubishi Outlander with Peugeot badges.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think they're doing all right there, but look, it's quite controversial. I love these awards, though. The actual overall winner at the Australian International Design Award was a Danish-designed interactive children's playground that combines the appeal of computing with climbing and play equipment. So, pretty diverse there, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's quite interesting.
That's, hey,
look, you know, those Danes, they do know how to design
they
things.
They do. So, do we agree with this? Do we think that the Audi A7 should have won?
I don't know. Look, it's pleasant and it's nice and it has presence, like we were saying. Mm. I don't think it really breaks ground. I think the Kia Optima, for my money, or, of course, the Ford Ranger, if I put my patriotic hat on.
Yeah, yep.
One of those two.
Beautiful. Jeremy?
Well, the Audi's pretty nice, but I think just for a new product where the Optimas come in and...
Are you saying we actually agree on something?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
No, I hate the Optima. No, I'm not agreeing. No.
Yep, it's turned. Look, what do you guys think out there? Let us know. What do you think has been the best design in motoring the last 12 months? And now we are very excited to have a very special guest in the studio. One third of the quite hilarious Talking Puffy live comedy show and Puffcast, comedian Scott Brennan.
Oh, well, hi, Tim.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's lovely to be here in the backseat of your little fender bender. Yeah.
Mini?
Yeah. It's hard to get in.
It is hard to get in, but we squish in. It's intimate, isn't it?
Where exactly are we going with this, I wonder?
I don't know. This is awkward.
It is a bit awkward. Maybe we should turn, you know, we should... No, never mind.
Never mind.
We'll carry on. We'll carry on. I'll try not to take over. Yes, okay.
Now, are you well? What's been happening?
Good. Oh, I'm just wonderful. We've been talking, puffing it up.
Yeah.
Yes, the podcast called The Puffcast is available for download at talkingpuffy.com.au, or if you look up Puffy on iTunes, we're the only one.
Are you serious?
Yeah, if you just type in Puffy into the search.
Awesome.
Yeah, not much puffiness going on iTunes, so you can, it's all free. And
that's fantastic.
So that's...
Yeah, that's good. With... Now, who do you do that with?
I do that with the delightful Adam Richard and the all right Toby Sullivan.
Oh, yes.
Yes, three of us, with occasional visits from Wes Snelling and a few other guests.
Oh, Wes, yes, we've had him on the show, of course.
Yes, he's gay.
Really?
Yep.
What about everyone else on Talking Puffy?
No, we're all straight, hence the name.
Yeah, well, this is what I thought.
Yeah, it's just us straight guys going, hey, how funny are poofs? Yeah.
Yes. Well, look, thanks for being here on Fender Bender today.
Oh,
we're very excited to have you. Now, do you have any real interest in cars or motoring?
Well, look, I'm actually the perfect guest because the answer is no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not really. I'm not particularly mechanically minded. The things that I've put my car through are just horrendous.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, should we wind it up then?
Yeah, yeah. Perhaps we should.
That was Skirt Brendan. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Well, when did you get your first car?
I think I got my... Well, my first car I actually got lent. Kind of, it was my sister-in-law's car and she bought a new one. She said, look, you can just drive this around until it falls apart. Well, you kind of got given. You can drive this around. It was a really cool red Beetle. Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, nice.
Old style, old school Volkswagen Beetle. The one we kind of, oh, I don't know, actually getting it into gear was like Tetris. You know, it was really precise. You had to have it in exactly the right, you know, the gears were about a millimeter wide to try and get it in there. But that was great. I awesome. Still love an old Beetle.
And how many cars have you had in your lifetime so far, Scott?
Oh, I think I've had I've had four cars.
Okay, yeah. What was after the V-dub?
The V-dub after that was like a really crappy, I think it was a Datsun 200B.
Datto, yep.
Yeah. Which basically was just rust on wheels. and my brother is really good at fixing up cars. Mm. And he, you know, we used to bog the holes, you know, you'd put the stuff and fix the Juco up and all that kind of stuff. And it really, there's that sort of slightly different colour. Like 80% of the car was stuff that we had fixed.
That's
it was
right.
Like one of those weird jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, it just fell apart basically. Yeah. I think the engine seized. Oh. On that one day, I think it committed suicide. Where I can't live like this. I need a peaceful end.
Yeah,
I'm just going to seize. But now my current car, which I did buy, which is the gayest car in the world.
Would you tell our listeners what sort of car it is?
It's a 2001 Daihatsu Sirion.
Yes.
Are
you Sirion?
I know. Which basically just looks like a toddler's shoe. That's kind of if you can imagine that. That's what my car looks like. She struggles up hills. I'm not very good at putting oil in cars.
Yeah.
But when I do, I go, oh my god, I haven't put oil in this car for about 2 years, and I overcompensate. And so I put maybe a little bit too much oil in the car and was driving back from, I can't remember. It was somewhere miles away. And because I'd put too much oil in, it took a little while for the oil to kind of bubble up. But obviously the oil just kind of went all over the engine. And it was like Moomba. I just had a trail of smoke behind me down the highway. And it just went, my car farted basically.
Whoa.
And just and was streaming this burning oil out of the exhaust pipe. And I went, and I looked in the rearview mirror and went, the car's on fire. And he pulled over to the side and the people behind pulled over just to make sure we were okay. And so I was standing there going, I don't know what's going on. And I was really, you know, it seemed like that's what had happened, that it was my fault that this had happened.
What? No.
And I was terribly embarrassed. And the guy who pulled over went, hey, mate, are you that guy from Skid House?
Oh.
Can I get a photo? So we stood in front of my steaming, broken-down car and had to get a photo.
Oh, look. So if you were a car yourself,
yes,
what would you be?
Okay, I know what. Can it be a vehicle rather than a car?
Absolutely.
All right, have you seen the original version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder?
Yes.
Do you remember when they get on that Wonka wash machine and they get on the machine and they get completely covered in white foam and it squirts foam all over them and they go through like this thing that cleans them all off?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think that's me because, you know, I'm actually pretty messy and my life is a bit of a mess, let's face it. So I think that if I were a car, anyone who rides in me, as it were, would be covered in foam. I didn't really think about that, did I? No.
You are spraying.
Yeah, I'm pretty kind of messy and I tend to involve people in my own mess.
Wow.
So that would be the vehicle that I would be.
We have a bit of a thing going here on Fender Bender where we ask listeners to text in or email in with what they think is the gayest car going around, right. Whether it's an old car or a new car.
I think it's the Honda Jazz. Because I just, you know, I just want them to put hands on the end of Honda Jazz hands.
Yes.
I had a hire car once. When I can't remember, I think it was in Brisbane, and it was a Honda Jazz, and it was this tiny little, like, if it was, if you would name it Troy, if you know what I mean. It's like, hi, I'm a Honda Jazz, my name is Troy.
Well, thank you, Scott Brennan, very much for joining us here on Fender Bender.
What a pleasure it has been.
Oh, the pleasure's been yours.
Indeed.
And ours. Yes. And all of the listeners. Yeah. Now, have you got some other stuff coming up at the moment as well,
performance wise? Well, I mean, as I said earlier on, check out the Puffcast, talkingpuffy.com.au. We're hilarious. At the end of August, 25th to 28th, I'm doing a cabaret, an improvised cabaret show.
Get out of town.
At the Butterfly Club in South Melbourne with a good friend of mine, Emily Taylor.
I'm Scott Brennan from Talking Puffy, as well as a bunch of other things. Thank you for joining us. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Now, we've had some wonderful people texting in about their nominations for Gayest Car of All Time. People are very passionate about their gay cars, guys. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing this time. Let's just say that.
No disagreement.
But we did have someone text in. What was his name there? John.
Oh, yes.
He didn't say where he's from.
Okay, that's all right.
But has suggested, and I've posted a link to this car on the Facebook.
Beautiful.
And it's the Lada Niva, which not many people may even know this car. This particular car, but I think it was it's a Russian car.
It is,
and from what I know of it, it was built. Well, the production line was consisted of mainly Russian prisoners. I'm serious. But anyway, the twist is Lada Niva, also known as the Lada Diva.
Oh, so, I think you've started something here.
Yes. Well, I didn't start it.
No. There you go. Well, there's quite a few others. We've had, I think, Colin from Heidelberg has texted in, lesbian car Subaru, Volkswagen Golf for the boys.
Well, we were just having a bit of a discussion about this before. Me and Mike were talking... I think we've already talked about the Subaru in the last show that I was on, and we all agree that that's definitely a lesbian car.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike said that he doesn't think the Golf is gay, and I also said, no, it's not. How can it be? You know, like, I drive a Jetta, which is a Golf with a boot, and then we kind of looked at each other and I went, oh, hang on, I'm gay. I think this is, which is contradicted each
touché.
Other.
Yeah.
And you can put some junk in your trunk in your car. It's quite...
Oh, another lovely pun, Tim.
You're on fire, mate. You're on fire.
You know what? I reckon we're going to make this competition next week for people to text in and give us their motoring quotes. Excuse me as I choke. Now, Jackie has texted in and suggested the Ford Car.
Yes, that is. I'm amazed.
Which is K-A.
We haven't thought of that before, and it's amazing because that is a
shitbox.
Yeah,
that's not. I don't think it's even a gay. Like,
it's just
an abomination in every way, isn't it?
It is, and whoever designed that should be shot.
Well, because the current one is actually all right. Apparently, they don't sell it in Australia; they sell it in Europe, and it's doing quite well.
Well, it couldn't be worse than the first one, really, could it?
Well, it was just an experiment, wasn't it?
It would want to be.
Yeah. We've also got another Tim here in the studio who suggested the Hyundai XL, the 90s bubble version. And there was one more of somebody that texted in.
It was the Suzuki Chino. Or Chinkin Cento, I think it was called.
From
or something
Etienne.
Like that.
That was the little, that wasn't the little cappuccino, that little sports car.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I think
God.
The little hard, the first hard top sports car you see floating
that was
around.
Diabolical.
Yeah, tiny little thing.
That's a really good call, actually.
It is. It's sort of from the same school as the Peugeot 206cc. It's a little tiny hardtop convertible thing. Yeah.
Well, this is fantastic, guys. Well, look, we will be back later in the show to obviously announce the winner of the gayest car this week. And, of course, we'll also be having a chat about the influx of the Chinese vehicles coming in. Now, we mentioned earlier that we wanted to have a quick chat about the all of the Chinese manufacturers that are coming into Australia. There's quite a lot now. And coming in at probably the bottom of the market, I guess you could say, boys.
Yeah, they've kind of taken the mantle from the Korean manufacturers and they're occupying the bargain basement end of the scale.
Mm. And it has been, as we were saying before, in the 60s and the 70s, Japanese cars, a lot of people questioned the quality of them and weren't interested in buying them and that kind of thing. In the 90s, late 80s and early 90s, obviously, as you said, the Koreans, and now it's the Chinese. So it's a bit of a cycle, guys. Who's next?
Definitely a bit of a cycle.
You'd have to say perhaps India or somewhere in South America, maybe. But the Chinese, they're very, like, the cars that they release, they're very quick learners, the Chinese car companies. They turn over new models at a rapid rate. They improve very, very quickly. And they're going to improve quicker than most, than the Korean manufacturers or the Japanese manufacturers. They've got to start somewhere, I suppose. That's the thing to take out of it.
And obviously people do have safety concerns, and I think that was highlighted this week with the ANCAP safety rating of it. Was it the Chery J1?
We're going back a few weeks now, but it was a very average performance in an age when you sort of expect 5 stars. It scraped 3, and it was sort of carnage. If you see the pictures, it wasn't pretty. And I think that is a problem they've run into. The first Great Walls also had pretty poor safety records as well.
And they don't look particular. A lot of them don't look particularly
well.
This
is what I was... This is the thing, like...
Not a fan?
I mean, well, I love dumplings, but I don't want to drive one. And I don't... Well, actually, yeah, I do want to pick one of them out. And, the Great Wall, that... It looked like, you see them, a lot of them are in white, and it looks like a dumpling.
Yeah.
They're derivative, I think, is the... Most of them aren't offensive, they're just vanilla.
Yeah.
Just totally, totally derivative.
I think it's going to take them a while to kind of develop their own personality, their own sense of style, because that Li Fan is one of the companies, and they've got a thing called, I think it's a J... God, what's it called? A Li Fan 320, and if you look it up, it is the spitting image. It looks like a really cheap version of the Mini. And it does. Just get your own designs, guys.
Well, some of them are playing it pretty smart. Geely springs to mind. They just decided, rather than do the R&D, they just bought Volvo outright.
Yeah.
So that might be the way they can do it. Just buy existing companies and use their knowledge to maybe improve themselves.
Well, this is what's going to be happening. And I'd say more and more Chinese makers will be buying out a lot of other companies. So, I mean, I think it's just something, obviously, we're going to see a lot more of. And with all those other countries and their development, safety, style, all of that will hopefully improve. But would you buy one? I mean,
Absolutely not.
Yeah, neither would I. And to be completely honest, I'm a little bit sidetracked now talking about Chinese and dumplings. I'm getting pretty hungry.
Yeah.
Thinking about Hutong and some Xiaolongbao.
Yep.
So
I'm hungry.
Time to wrap it up, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I think gayest car of the week. What are we thinking?
I really like the Ford car as a choice.
Okay. Good-o. We're going to stick with the car. That's fantastic. That will go into our grand final.
Yeah, I think that's derogatory, though.
Saying that it's a car.
It's just to say it's a car or it's a gay car.
That's true. It's offensive to gays.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
A little bit hurt.
I'd like to apologise.
It's offensive to cars as well.
It's offensive in general.
Life.
Exactly. So before we offend anyone else, we'll get out of here. We are done. Thank you very much to the wonderful Mike Costello and Jeremy. Yes?
Yes. Oh, I just have to add one more thing. My mum's managed to operate the radio tonight, I believe. So I've got to say a hi to my mum, Alice.
Oh, hi, Alice. Yeah. My mum's name's Alice too.
No, get out.
Oh, my God. Are we brothers?
Oh,
that's really creepy. thank you for listening, Alice, and thanks for everyone else for listening. Now, also thanks to our wonderful guest star, Scott Brennan, and his Too Much Information. That was wonderful. Thanks to Jerry on the phones. There's a lot more Fender Bender happening next week. Don't forget to like Fender Bender Joy on Facebook. We'll be posting updates throughout the week. Next up is the wonderful Tim Perry with Queen of the Night, then David Moyle with Bent Notes at 7 o'clock. We will catch you from 5 p.m. next Sunday, Arvo, for more Fender Bender. Have a great week. And safe driving.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.